Good morning, and welcome to Megacable's third quarter 2021 earnings conference call. With us this morning from Megacable, we have Mr. Enrique Yamuni, CEO, Mr. Raymundo Fernández, Deputy CEO, and Mr. Luis Zetter, CFO. Let me remind you that the information discussed in today's call may include forward-looking statements on the company's future financial performance and prospects, which are subject to risks and uncertainties. Megacable undertakes no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Enrique Yamuni. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. This quarter's results consolidated the positive operational strength in terms of net additions. Not only we were able to continue to grow, but also to post the highest figures of the year. This achievement reflects the company's resilience dealing with a challenging environment, including increased competition. This resilience comes from our advanced infrastructure, rapid execution, and high level of adaptability to new market trends. The demand for our services in the mass market remains at high levels, proof that the changes we experienced on our day-to-day activities, including the accelerated adoption of connectivity, are here to stay. This is reflected in a stable churn rate and increased gross adds. We continue to capitalize on these opportunities by offering the best service through edge technology at the best market rates. We have been able to grow in terms of both unique subscribers and RGUs, which during the quarter have surpassed the 10 million mark. The corporate segment continues to expand, recording the third consecutive period with revenue growth, highlighting MetroCarrier, which continues to reach record high revenue figures, while ho1a is on its way to improving its 2020 performance with double-digit growth. In terms of financials, our revenues are higher than ever, reaching record high figures each quarter, which coupled with one of the highest EBITDA margins in the industry, have allowed us to maintain a very healthy financial profile with a very comfortable balance sheet. To wrap up on results, the company is going through one of its best moments, and the quarterly results for this period sustain the decision we have made in the last couple of years and validate the projects and challenges we have undertaken. Moving into the projects that reflect the company's vision for the following years, first related for the evolution of our video service, HD+ has received a wide level of acceptance from our subscribers, whose video content consumption needs are being covered given the growing amount of content supplied from different sources. We have successfully consolidated linear or traditional TV, a new generation of TV service that allows the subscriber to go back in time and record future events in the linear channels, catch up service in a native library of content, plus all the possibilities that external OTTs can provide. Secondly, on GPON migration process, we continue to successfully advance on completion of this project that will improve our infrastructure in the region migrated to GPON and in the HFC footprint that will take advantage of investments already made. This project will ensure to the company the required capacity to reach higher bandwidth that the market will demand in the coming years. Early in the quarter, and as a part of our growth plan, we started to offer services in certain regions of cities like Mexico City, Monterrey, and Zapopan. The rapid entrance to these markets was possibly given the existing infrastructure and our execution capacity due to a greater extent to a high capable team as we complement the operation in those specific territories with additional resources. We will be able to gain a relevant position in these markets. Finally, the third line of our vision for the future in which the company is ready to take it to the next level We are glad to announce a multi-year program that will represent the evolution of our footprint as we prepare ourselves to deploy a fiber network in several new markets among various cities. This plan includes operations in the mass and corporate markets through the deployment of a state-of-the-art GPON network that will allow the company to continue delivering our attractive services to new territories, not the existing new territories. We will continue with the inertia that we already have to cover the demand of a market that continues and will continue to grow by almost doubling the size of this company in the coming years. These territories have been carefully selected on the basis of the market characteristics and return of on investment objectives of the company. To elaborate on that, we want to be sure that the markets we are targeting really represent a growth opportunity for the company. We will not enter saturated markets that do not make sense, and we are privileging above all, value creation through incremental contribution to revenue and EBITDA. Our distinctive know-how developed over many years will help us to efficiently and effectively deploy infrastructure that was not available in past years due to its high cost, but that now represents the best options not only in terms of cost, but also in terms of technology for the future. We are thrilled about the opportunities and challenges that we have ahead of us with the execution of this project, but we are confident in the capacity of the company and in the qualified collaborators that will take this plan into reality. Leveraging on our innovation and adaptation capacity together with our effective execution, we will continue with solid foundations to support an incremental generation of value for our shareholders, the market, and the subscribers, as well as to our working associates. With this, I conclude my remarks, and I pass along the words to Raimundo. Please go on, Raimundo.
Thank you, Enrique, and good morning, everyone. In an increasingly competitive environment, Megacable has always relied on its operational strengths to remain the best option in the market. Those qualities allow us not just to keep up to date with the current trends, but at the forefront of the services we offer, and therefore to continue delivering results on challenging environments. Performance during the third quarter of 2021 continues to be favored by the solid fundamentals of the mass segment and further recovery of the corporate segment. In this sense, our value offer enables us to take advantage of the demand for connectivity services that comes from the inherent conditions of our new day-to-day, including home office and distance learning. Our sales strategy, focused mainly in the sale of attractive triple play bundles, boosted unique subscribers to reach 4.1 million, an annual increase of 6% that equals 245,000 net additions, of which roughly 80,000 were added this quarter. On the same line, third quarter 21, RGUs rose 10% annually, totaling 10.2 million, while RGUs per unique subscriber increased from 2.41 to 2.49. In the breakdown by service, broadband totaled 339,000 net adds, or a 10% growth when compared to the same quarter of last year, to reach over 3.7 million subscribers. On a sequential basis, 105,000 net adds were recorded, the highest figure since the first quarter 2018. At the end of the quarter, the number of subscribers with speeds of 30 megabits or more have increased more than 150% when compared to pre-pandemic levels, and this trend is only going to increase. We are looking at a market that continues to grow, and Megacable is growing faster than the market. Regarding video subscribers, they went from 3,360,000 in the third quarter 2020 to 3,515,000 this quarter, with net adds of 155,000, or a 5% growth on a year-to-year comparison. Quarterly net adds nearly tripled when compared to the previous quarters of 2021, going from 24,000 in the first quarter and 21,000 in the second quarter to 59,000 net additions in this quarter. As Enrique mentioned, our new generation platform, XView and XView Plus, continued to benefit from a solid demand absorption, posting 1.2 million net annual additions and 203,000 net sequential additions to stand at 2.3 million set-top boxes as of September end. Our XView Plus service came as a revolutionary solution to combine linear TV with an unmatched integration capability. This platform currently delivers over 70 million of interactions monthly. Our interactive features continue to be a significant aggregator to an already very complete solution, in which the integration of external apps now offset the premium bundles. Turning to telephony, this service reported net additions during the period of 129,000. Therefore, telephony subscribers reached the 2.9 million mark in the third quarter, with 423,000 net additions year over year. Separately, the MVNO service reported a remarkable figure of 90,000 net additions for the quarter, thus having the required drive to reaching almost 350,000 lines as of September 30, 2021, out of which 89% are postpaid services. On the churn rate wise, as a result of the high degree of satisfaction reached by our customer approach and quality of services, this indicator remained virtually unchanged on a sequential basis, with rates of 2.0 at broadband, 2.3% in video, and 2.5% in telephone. This accomplishment gains further relevance when considering the current environment of rising competition and represents a hard proof of the solid position that Mega Cable has gained in the market that serves. Consequently, ARPU per unique subscriber for the third quarter totaled 411.5 pesos, increasing 2% on annual basis and almost in the same levels as of the second quarter 2021. The above mention is explained by a lower contribution given additional discounts as subscribers adopt triple pay bundles. Breaking down by service, ARPU increased 3% and 6% on an annual basis at internet and telephony, respectively, while video went down 3% year over year. In relation to the corporate segment, revenue from both MetroCarrier and OLA remained on its growth trend, with annual growth rates of 9% and 13%, respectively. On the MetroCarrier side, connectivity services continued to be the main growth driver, and this period coupled with the recovery in the hospitality segment. On the other hand, a year-to-year recovery is observed in OLA as a result of a better outlook in the private investment. MCN revenue posted its third quarter of sequential growth, standing only 3% below of its annual comparative. On the GPON migration, this process continues to advance, and we are aiming at the first quarter 22 for conclusion. This project will undoubtedly expand our competitive advantage for the next few years, improving the overall experience of the subscribers. As Enrique first mentioned, we have established a plan to be executed on the next years that will significantly increase the Mega Cable's footprint. The company is fully committed to taking its services and infrastructure to the next level in terms of coverage. These investments will be destined to ensure that Mega Cable will be a leading player in the industry for many more years, delivering the best possible service through the best infrastructure. And just to be clear, the goal of this project is not to evolve, but to expand the footprint of the company. Innovation, adaptability, and a fast and efficient execution have always been part of our culture, and the projects and deployments that we have ahead of us will reflect these values. To conclude, quarterly results can confirm that we are on the right track, and the projects ahead of us are aimed towards securing the future of the company, we will continue to execute as we have over the last few years, with a responsible and intelligent exercise of investment, a focus on cost efficiency, and the maximization of opportunities. With this, I conclude my remarks. Now, I would like to hand the call over to Luis, who will shed broader color on the financial results. Luis?
Thank you, Raimundo. Good morning, everyone. During the third quarter, the consolidated revenue rose 9% year-over-year to 6.1 billion pesos. Once again, a new record high for a quarter, driven by the sound performance recorded at our three mass services, coupled with the contributions from the corporate, whose recovery is increasingly visible. In this sense, in line with a higher subscriber base, revenue for broadband, video, and telephony posted annual growth rates of 14%, 2%, and 27% respectively, thus posting an annual growth of 10% in the mass segment revenue. Separately, the corporate segment revenue increased 7% on an annual basis, primarily supported by the 9% climb in MetroCarrier, following higher business connectivity revenues. Likewise, the 13% growth at OLAP contributed to offset the slight drop of 3% at MTM. Therefore, in the revenue mix, 83% of the consolidated revenue came from the mass market and 17% from the corporate segment. On costs and expenses, following the growth recorded on the mobile business and the recovery of OLA in the corporate segment, which implies a lower margin, the third quarter cost of services was up 10%. Similarly, SG&A increased also 10% when compared to the third quarter of 2020, following the expansion of the subscriber base. All in all, quarterly consolidated EBITDA went up 8% year over year, amounting a little over 3.0 billion pesos, thus reaching a 49.1% margin, while EBITDA for cable operations climbed 9% when compared to the third quarter of 2020 to reach more than 2.8 billion pesos with a 50.6% margin. On a year-to-date basis, consolidated EBITDA margin remained close to 50%, still in line with the company's expectations for the year. On the other hand, the EBITDA margin of cable operations stood at 51.3%. Below EBITDA, over 70% of the growth in depreciation and amortization was caused by the increase in depreciation related to higher CapEx. The rest is to reflect an impairment on the company's investment on Altán Redes. CFR is also above normal figures due to a one-time pay to the tax authority. In that line, net income reported an annual contraction amounting to 964 million pesos, mainly following a higher depreciation component that includes the impairment previously mentioned, coupled with the increase on the CFR and a higher tax rate compared to 2020. Excluding the two extraordinary items above mentioned, net income is growing 9% when compared to the third quarter of 2020. Moving into the balance sheet, as of September 30, net debt amounted close to 4.3 billion pesos, 13% below than that registered at the same date the previous year, explained by the combined effect of a lower gross debt and a higher cash and cash equivalent balance. Consequently, both net debt to EBITDA ratio and interest coverage ratio reached 0.37 times and 15.3 times, showing our healthy financial position. During the third quarter of 2021, investment represented 34.9% of quarterly revenues, totaling a little over 2.1 billion pesos, mostly deployed in the GPON migration process and the progressive expansion of our network. For the 9 months of the year, total investment reached more than 6 billion pesos, representing 33.3% of the same period's revenue. To conclude, Megacable is backed by solid operating and very strong financial fundamentals that enable it to capitalize on opportunities and endeavors to strengthen its competitive position. As we move forward with the plans for the following years, we are confident that each quarterly report will bring confidence to our stockholders and confirm that we are taking the right path towards future value creation. With this, I conclude my remarks. Now, let me turn back the call to the operator to open the line for questions and answers.
Thank you. We'll now be conducting a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you'd like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. One moment, please, while we pull for your questions. Our first question comes from the line of Alejandro Galostra with BBVA. Thank you, sir. You may proceed.
Hi, good morning, Enrique, Raimundo, Luis. Thank you very much for the call. I would like to get started with your initial remarks. Apparently, you're announcing the expansion of your network into new territories, apparently aiming to double the size of the company. Could you please elaborate when you plan to start this expansion and how long it will take and how much additional capex it will require? And also if you will be entering these new territories with FTTH, and if you plan to upgrade all your current network to FTTH before proceeding with this footprint expansion.
Hi, Alejandro. Thank you very much for your question. Yes, we already started to the expansion. We started expansion in the easiest areas for us, which is the vicinities of our networks. Current network in here in Guadalajara, we're expanding to Zapopan. In Mexico City, we already had certain areas of the surrounding the Mexico City territory in Tlalnepantla and Zumpango and all those. You know, we operate in Toluca, so we are expanding our network in Mexico City. Also, we started already four or five months ago. And we are doing also the same in Monterrey. In Monterrey, we have a very large backbone of fiber with Metrocarrier. So we started to do capillarity in that city also. We already started. And now we are going to complete new territories, new cities that make sense for us. Cities that are not, we consider underserved, but we have an opportunity to have a very good market share and penetration. And yes, it's going to be a state of the art FTTH. We have a big how would you say it? Inertia, you know, we are already building a lot of FTTH. And we have the capacity, so we will keep that capacity. We will keep the same contractors and our crews also, and take advantage of that. We did build 24,000 of GPON network in the past, in 18 months, about in 18 months, and. So we will take advantage of that capacity to expand to new territories, and we are already doing it in those cities that I mentioned, and we have already started in some other cities. And Raimundo will clarify more about that.
Yes, Alejandro, and expanding what Enrique explained, we want to take advantage of everything that he's explaining, Right now, we see an increase in the demand of our services. It is not the same 10 years ago that it is right now when broadband needs, we call that mega cable is a big necessity. It's an essential company. And it's not mega cable. It is the need of the broadband both for enterprises and businesses. So the market continues to increase and will do that in the years to come in Mexico. We manage and we have access to the best technology. Right now, the cost of technology to be deployed, let's call it FTTH, is way more efficient than what we did or what we had as an option 20 or 50 years ago. Third, we believe that we have proven to run this organization in a very efficient manner with the highest margins in the industry. And of course, we manage that with a low ARPU. So looking into those conditions, we have decided to expand the footprint of the company to new markets. It is very important to understand that the GPON project was a project aimed to do evolution of the existing network because we save it and we make more efficient the existing CAPEX. The CAPEX that we're taking away from those cities that are GPON is taken on the HFC network that we have. So we're taking the best of the two worlds. The HFC networks has managed to be able to be very competitive. We have a 40% increase of bandwidth last year when we start this terrible pandemic period. And we managed with the HFC networks in those areas to manage to provide that bandwidth to the subscribers. So in terms of our evolution of the network, we're very happy with the FTTH, but we're happy also with the HFC. The years to come on the CAPEX, it will be for the expansion of the company. It will go to new markets. And as Enrique said, we will continue to be very careful where to go, but we want to take advantage of those four advantages, if I can say it again, that we have as an organization. Okay? So that I hope Alejandro can answer the expansion, the FTTH is going to be in the new markets, and the existing of the networks will be still FTTH and HFC, at least for the years to come, the 2, 3, 4 years to come, and the CAPEX will go to the expansion of the company.
And if I may, we will mostly cover these CAPEX with our own cash generation. We although have a strong balance sheet, and if needed, if we need to accelerate, or we will use the balance sheet if needed. So we think the CAPEX will continue to be in a good range, and we will still generate cash, and that's how we plan to cover for this expansion.
Okay, thank you. I just want to make clear something. It seems that this is what you're announcing today is a more ambitious plan than what you've been stating in previous calls, where you said that you were going to enter new regions. But apparently, this is it seems to be a more ambitious plan. Should we think about Megacable going nationwide now, and how much CAPEX it will require?
It is an ambitious plan, Alejandro. But as Enrique said, we already have existing footprint for MetroCarrier in the main cities nationwide. We also have massive services in the main two cities, which is Mexico City and Monterrey, and already expand our network to Zapopan. What we're doing is replicating the 24,000 kilometers that we're building in between these 18 months as we speak for the IPO revolution, but taking that capacity to other markets and expand that. Yeah. So we believe we can do it in the next 3 to 4 years, pretty much. That's what we're planning to do. It might be before, it might be some problems on the way, but we're ready and we have the experience and we're proving that with the GPON project, that we can go from a company that builds 3,000 to 4,000 kilometers per year to 13,000 kilometers, 12,500 or 13,000 per year, and now continue to do that in new markets and even improve them. We believe we can do that. And like we said, which was very, 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 very clear on that part, we managed to provide that with the capex that we have and keep the capex in the levels that we have and we have experienced as of this year. If we need to get into our balance to have more, we will do, but we expect to finance all this with the existing level of capex that we have. Please, you may expand that a little bit. But.
Yeah, we will keep for the first years of on the city. But after 3-4 years, we will reduce capex to go basically to low 20s and even could be below 20% after that.
Okay, I see. So this is a higher guidance, higher capex to sales guidance than you were guiding before. And when you say doubling the size of the company, when Enrique mentioned that, you mean doubling in revenues or subscribers or homes passed?
It is all integrated. When we say double the size, think about the 10 million compass that we already have. I'm thinking a company in the next 3 years that has 9 more million compass. That will come with kilometers, subscribers, and everything. You know, but just to take a some measurement in terms of compass, going from 10 million to 18, 19 million. That's pretty much what we see, and who knows, maybe more.
Okay, understood. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alejandro.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Marcelo Santos with JP Morgan. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. The first question is regarding the expansion plan. So how would you deal with, how do you think about overlapping fiber? Is this new fiber that you're going to lay in new regions going to be in places where there is no fiber yet? Or do you, I just wanted to understand how this competition with other fiber players will take place. That's the first question. And the second, just to clarify, you said the first few year capex will be in the 50% range of revenues and then go down to low 20s. Just wanted to get that number clarified. Thank you.
No, Luis, you may clarify the capex before.
Yeah, the capex investment, the percentage to revenues is going to be on 33 zeros.
Mid-30s.
Mid to low 30s, right?
Okay.
And we'll go down after 3-4 years to low 20s, and even could be after that even below 20%.
And the first one that go ahead, Marcelo.
No, I was going to say thank you for the first answer.
Oh, okay. And then going back to your first question regarding the expansion, we do compete right now with FTTH in our markets. The markets where we're going have some FTTH and some HFC still, and some of them still copper or DSL. We, as I said before, we believe we manage a right FTTH network with the right video product in terms of the XView platform, and we have the power of the 24,000 employees and organizations that we are already working in those areas to be able to expand and to manage efficiency. Our ARPU, we're used to run low ARPUs to expand the company and still manage about 50% margin on those. So, yes, some of the markets will be in FTTH markets that has coming from there. There are two or three companies in the markets. It doesn't make any sense to tell them, but as you know, it's Total Play, Easy, and Telmex. But we believe we can go to those markets and some selected areas where there's only HFC or copper. And some of the big areas will have FTTH too. But based on our experience and our know-how, we believe we can capture an important part of the market share and still make a great return for our shareholders.
Perfect. And just one question, a follow-up. You said you're going from like maybe 10 million homes passed to 18, 19 million. What frame for that?
What, Marcelo, I didn't understand.
You mentioned that you would be doubling the size of the company, going from 10 million homes passed to 18, 19 million homes passed. What would be the time frame for that? How long, more or less? Is it 3-4 years to achieve all of that?
3 to 4 years to achieve that.
Okay.
I can talk more,
much.
But I will tell you 3 to 4 years.
Perfect.
Enrique pushing me to 3, but I want to say 3 to 4.
No, I'm pushing you to 2.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen.
No, to be realistic, as we said, you know, that will be an important effort from the company. But these past 18 months, build the right infrastructure in terms of construction power, materials, logistics, equipment, people, managing, and we feel confident we can achieve this, as I said, in 3 years.
Now that we have the engine ready, it's just to release it.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Fred Mendez with Bank of America. Please proceed with your question.
Hello. Good morning, everyone, and thanks for the call. I have two questions as well. The first one, if you have some kind of customer satisfaction indication, something in this line, that when you measure the customer satisfaction for fiber versus cable, there's a significant difference, because obviously as you fiber more and more your network, we would assume that over time your churn should reduce. This is the first one. And then the second one, we are seeing a decrease in ARPU on the video segment. If this is due to the bundles and eventually you're giving more discount there, or that's just market conditions and that should be the trend as we move forward. Thank you.
Sure, Fred. Good questions, both, as all have been. We do have seen a slight increase in customer service related to KPIs. However, this is not a relevant event yet left. We think that a real difference could be observed once a major part of our subscriber base starts to demand more bandwidth or higher speeds. That's when we should be able to get a difference, which is, of course, what we expect to see in the coming years. It is too soon to see. Regarding your second question, and what will be the reason to see the ARPU, the video ARPU, there are several reasons behind this trend. First, as video subscribers migrate from a single play or double play to a triple play package, the overall ticket that each subscriber pays is definitely higher. However, given the discounts that are applied to the triple play bundle, the contribution to each individual service is lower than what they had on a single or double play, thus affecting the app. In addition, I believe we are still seeing the adoption of new subscribers of lower packages, while the premium packages are still being affected by OTT Plus. All this that I'm telling you will be offset by a higher number of subscribers added, coupled also with the revenue coming from additional services such as XD. So we have some items and external factors that affect the lower ARPU video and some that affect the positive. The main of all is the ticket that each subscriber pays is definitely higher on a triple play, but affects the discount that goes to video.
Perfect. Very, very clear, Ramundo Enrique. Thank you.
Thank you, Bert.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Alejandro Chavelas with Credit Suisse. Please proceed with your question.
Hello, Mega Team. Thanks for taking my question. Most of my questions have already been asked. Just one on the Altan impairment. If you can comment a little bit on why did you decide to do this impairment? How much was the decline in stake? Generally, more color on that impairment, and do you think perhaps the Altan situation could affect your ability to operate in mobile going forward? Thanks.
Sure, Alejandro. yes, we have to recognize this due to really our internal auditors and the situation, external auditors, of course, and the situation that was publicly announced by Altan. So this is something that has to be booked on the value of our investment. And we continue really closely watching and following the happenings on the Altan side. We think that the company will rebound and in the long term will be a great investment. But this is just an accounting topic that, given the situation that is public, that we really have to impact our books. But we don't foresee an immediate change in that, but we see a long-term recovery from Altan. I don't know, Enrique or Raimundo, if you want to.
Oh, no, yeah, Altan is it's a company that has a social orientation also, and it needs to be kept alive. And it will be kept alive, keep up, because it's part of the plans for the global connectivity of the Mexican government for remote places. The quality of the shareholders is very good. We have there are very good shareholders there. One of the main shareholders through the development banking system of Mexico, and also to Comtel, which is the entity that promotes the telecommunications development or investment in telecommunications from in the Mexican government, which that entity put the frequencies into the corporation, into Altan. Altan is not paying for those frequencies because the Mexican government is a shareholder, is a partner in this joint venture. So we think that in the long run, the viability of Altan is pretty much warranted. And we are not a big shareholder there. We can't be a big shareholder because we're a user of the network, and we don't see for now a risk to keep using the Altan network to provide to for our MVNO. Although we do have some relations with other MNO companies in Mexico, so we're covered in case that in the very remote case that our town could be at risk. So we're okay. We feel confident that we will be in any case able to keep our MNO intact with good perspective. We do also have good margins there, and almost no capex. So it's a good business in the long run.
Thank you very much for the detailed answer. Perhaps just a follow-up of my colleague's questions. Is there a region in particular where you see an opportunity for expansion? I don't know, for example, in the Bajío or Michoacán or the South, somewhere where you see a big opportunity for the expansion that you're planning?
Well, we wouldn't like to disclose existing areas, but I can tell you that it will come on the site where we already have MetroCarrier, expanding Mexico City, Monterrey, and Zapopan is for sure areas where we're going to be. And the rest, to build 9 million home pass, it covers everything, from Bajío to the north to the southeast part of Mexico, in the selected areas where we see that there is more opportunity, and of course, looking where we can compete better in those areas. There is good economy, and we are confident that we can capture that because of the organization we have. We have already all planned, but those are plans that we would like to keep it this way,
we might disclose later, and you will see what we're building. But right now, we would like to keep it at 9 million home pass. That gives you an idea of the size of the investment, the time that it will take, and the number, everything, subscribers and everything that will come if you just take those 9 million home pass and try to apply the efficiency we have in the past. That will tell you why Enrique was clear about our goal to double the size of the company.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from the line of Andres Coelho with Scotiabank. Please proceed with your question.
Yes, thank you very much. I think you already talked about CapEx, and as you know, CapEx is something that is concerning investors a lot. That's probably why your shares are down almost 40% since 2018. The CapEx outlook is concerning. But I wanted to get your view on EBITDA growth. In 2020 and in 2021, you grew EBITDA by around 1 billion pesos per year, no? So you went from 10 billion in 19 to 11 billion in 20, and you are heading towards 12 billion in EBITDA for 2021. So I was wondering if with all these investments, you believe that you can continue growing EBITDA by around 1 billion pesos per year, or perhaps a little bit more than 1 billion pesos per year. So in other words, we already have your view on CapEx, but it will be good to have your view on revenue and EBITDA growth. Thank you.
Yes, Andres, and thanks for the question. And you're right. You're possibly right you're perfectly right on the numbers and the expectations you have for the future. And yes, we foresee a higher growth in EBITDA than the 1,000 you're seeing right now. So we are not willing to give a guidance per se. As you know, we want to be more generalistic on that, but for sure it's going to be much higher than 1,000 per year.
Yeah, we're not talking about doubling the size in kilometers and home pass. We're talking about increasing the size of the company significantly, getting to those volume size in the years to come. And that will take us, if we continue to manage the levels of margin that we have or slightly below that, that sure will take you, Andres, to double the amount of that EBITDA once the project is already finished and as we continue to build that part.
So you're expecting to double the size of the network, but also double the size of EBITDA in the long term. That's your view, right?
I would say that the EBITDA is going to grow pretty much in the percentages that we grow the number of homes passed plus and depending on how successful we're going to be in the penetration and the market share that we can take in those areas. We are confident that the market is growing and it will keep growing, and we are confident in the quality and the capacity of the company to add value to the market. If we are by far the company that adds more value to the subscriber than the market. So it shouldn't be much different in those new areas. There's going to be better areas than others, but in the mix, we think that we can achieve pretty much the same results that we have currently in our footprint.
Thank you. And let me ask you a second question on the broadband additions. I think the broadband additions during the third quarter were 4 times higher than the additions of Easy. So I was wondering if your FTTH network is already helping you to accelerate broadband growth, or if the broadband additions are still coming mostly from HFC areas. Just if you can give us a breakdown, perhaps, of your broadband additions per technology. Thank you.
Well, what we can tell you, Andres, is that we are growing broadband as well as the rest of subscribers both in the FTTH and the HFC networks. Really, really being very clear on that. Both technologies represents growth for the company.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Patrick Brennan with Brennan Asset Management. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, I had a question on just how you're measuring the return metrics for this new expansion, and can you sort of just talk in broad strokes on sort of the unlevered IRR you anticipate from these from the network expansion, and then what, you know, any other details you can share in terms of, you know, anticipated, you know, cost per home passed, any churn expectations. And then maybe importantly, what are you assuming on penetration percentages, especially as you enter a market that has, you know, an existing fiber to the home competitor currently? And then I have one follow-up after this. Thanks.
Well, related to some of the items that you are asking, we really don't like to disclose the cost of homes passed and that type of investment. We can maybe have a separate conversation to discuss some of the topics that you established. There are some other more general topics that we can talk, but the details on that we don't like to really share it.
Okay, fair enough. Can you just talk maybe just generally on, in terms of maybe the magnitude of difference in terms of penetration for a market that has a fiber competitor versus one that doesn't? Would that be possible?
Well, we can say that the market that we compete, that we already have fiber here, the one that we go, we managed to have a very decent, and not want to say only decent, but we are the relevant player in those markets, whether we have HFC or fiber. We managed to compete in terms of our knowledge, know-how, and expertise on the market and efficiency of the code that we have. Our video platform and the way that we manage broadband is able, whether it's HFC or fiber, to compete with them. In those new markets where we go, not all the markets have fiber, and the ones that have fiber don't have that many subscribers in that part. So every market will be different. It will be different to compete in Mexico City than to compete in a mid-sized market where there is no fiber on that part. All of them might have different penetration and different ARPU too, according to the size of the market. Those information, as we said, Patrick, we would like to keep it to ourselves in that part. What we can tell you is that we did the 25,000 kilometers of GPON in these 18 months. You've seen the levels of CapEx that's over there. You've seen the levels of EBITDA that we continue to have. Of course, it was an evolution of the network. But we expand also to Mexico City, Monterrey, and Zapopan in the last 5-6 months. We've been working there. We compete in markets strongly with other big competitors like Telmex, Easy, and Total Play. And we're confident we can do the same in this expansion of the company. That's pretty much the message we want to send.
Okay, fair enough. And I guess the second question is just, how do you think about, I mean, presumably you see very attractive incremental IRRs on the rollout of this of the broadband project, but your stock price seems sort of puzzling, trading at, you know, half the level on, you know, as your growth rate. And so presumably the IRR on a share repurchase would be extraordinary, assuming, you know, you're targeting very, you know, attractive returns for this expansion. Can you just sort of talk through your thought process on, you know, this the current stock price, how you think about potential buybacks, if there's any appetite, you know, within the family to consider that? And, you know, would you think about any incremental, you know, small amounts of incremental leverage to, you know, potentially, you know, look at, would presumably would be a very high attractive IRR purchase? Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, Mr. Enrique. The company went public to be public, and we intend to stay public. At least that's the board's decision.
We think that the to buy a stock is a very good opportunity at the price that is it that it is right now. It's a very it's really an opportunity. It's we're trading at of around 5x EBITDA. Our peers in the U.S. is there are around 9, in Europe and other parts of the world. Mexico Bolsa is not performing good, but we think that that should be temporary. I don't know how temporary it's going to be, but it is not our intention to do a buyback program or because in Mexico it's complicated. The rules are complicated. If you do that, you it's like you are paying a dividend. You have to pay taxes on that. We'd rather keep our dividend policy, so the shareholders of the company decide whether with that money they want to go back and buy more stock for the company or other stocks. We think and we really believe that the stock is really inexpensive. I don't want to use the word cheap, it's nonsense. It's a company that grows at almost lower double digits, and has this history of performance. The company has always been cash positive operating. It has always been growing the EBITDA and the revenues, and we are constantly updating our technology. We have one of the best human resources of the industry, but for the knowledge that our people has of the business, and it doesn't make any sense that the price that the stock is trading, but that's the market. We don't intend to try to intervene to solve that.
Thank you. Our next question is a follow-up from Alejandro Galostra with BBVA. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, thank you for follow-up. You mentioned that Ola benefited from the recovery in the government segment. However, other companies in the sector continue to experience declines in government revenues. Could you please explain what is the difference between Meracable and other companies in government revenue trends? Please.
Well, actually, Alejandro, Ola did pretty well in the private segment too. That's part. Government did increase, but private we managed to do very well with higher ticket, average ticket per customer on the private segment, and that's why we're very, very happy on that part. It's not coming only from government. Ola is not a company that depends on government only. Our corporate segment. Has a component, an important component of government, but it's not the key part of it on that part. And I can tell you that the growth in Ola was very, very similar in terms of private and government. Both were positive, above double-digit growth in those two. That's why we have the 13%, and we're very happy with that, that we do not depend only on the increase of the government dependency on that part. Still, the component that we have the majority of Ola, I can tell you that more than 65% of Ola revenue comes from private investment on that part. And if I can recall just with that number, maybe more than 70%. So you can be sure that we have also a company target to the tech market that goes to private and government as well.
Thank you, Raymond. I understand this, but you're still growing in the government segment, and given the current austerity plans from the government, how do you manage to grow this segment, and how is that you keep growing more or less, but you still keep growing, and on other companies in the industry are experiencing high revenue declines in this segment? How would you explain that?
It depends what the products and what the segment that you're talking about. There's always, and besides of all, it's not that big to be able to manage a decline of federal government or state government. We sell to municipalities, state and federal government, and we sell a information technology or TIC services on that part. We managed to grow MetroCard also in connectivity, but this one we're talking about are new products that goes in terms like security. Security is very important to be sold to government. The SOC that we have, all the different products that we launch to the market. So our particular segments of the market will all start. Infrastructure that needs to be updated to couple with the demand, that cannot wait. That's updating and maintaining the network that they use to get, and that's what we get. Those are particular projects. How we do that is because we have a more experienced sales force. We have a very bad 2020 in that part. Everybody holds the projects on that, not only government but private. And now we're in a better position. There is no way looking into the future that the technology market doesn't grow. There is need for everybody, government and enterprises, to be able to secure the information they have, to grow in terms of servers, to grow in terms of collaboration services and licenses, and that's what we see. So maybe that's the explanation you are waiting for, but it's different for somebody really, really big than for Ola, which is not the leader in the TIC market. So we expect to continue to grow as we continue to gain experience in that market.
Okay, great explanation. Thank you very much, Raimundo.
Thank you. There are no further phone questions at this time. I'd like to turn the call back over to management to answer any webcast questions.
Okay, we have a question from Barclays, and its consolidation of the cable market in Mexico has long been speculated. Given your ambitious growth plans, it is fair to say you continue to believe you are better off growing on your own?
I don't know about that. We don't have any perspectives of consolidation so far, but we are not close to that. I mean, that could happen also, but we do think that this is a smart move of the company, and it's something that we need to do, and we think that we can do a very good case out of it. But we're not close. I mean, the possibility of consolidation is still open. There's in Mexico, I think that the market is has been consolidated in the past, but there's still some room for that. But we think that this is a very good alternative for us in case there is no consolidation.
Okay, and we have a second one from GBM. You mentioned you want to double the size of your company based on home stack. Do you think you can replicate the level of RGUs per unique subscriber and unique subs per home in those new units?
I think that question has already been answered by Raimundo. Most of our sales currently is triple play by far, around 70-something percent of the total sales that we make, new contracts, are triple play. So we think that we can continue with that. Our video service is extremely attractive. It is not expensive, and it has a lot of functionalities. I think that is the best video product that there is in the market, I would say in Latin America and in most of the world. There are only a handful of companies in the world have the level of service and the user interface that we have in video, in our video application is Blue Plus. So we think we can continue growing in video and selling triple play for a long time.
Yeah, we have another one. What penetration of the new 8 to 9 million homes passed do you get in the next 3 to 4 years? What is the mix of new broadband subs versus market share in these regions?
We don't want to be arrogant here. I think that we would not like to disclose that. but we think that we will be successful in those areas, as we have been very successful in the areas where we currently operate. And the time will tell, but I think, I mean, it's been very well analyzed by our people in the company, and it totally makes sense to do what we're planning to do.
Thank you.
We have no more questions from the web.
Thank you. This concludes all of the questions for today. I'd like to turn the call back over to Mr. Enrique Yamuni for his final remarks.
As always, it was a pleasure to discuss our results with you and our future plans now. Please contact our Investor Relations Department if you have any questions or concerns regarding the company, and have a beautiful and a wonderful day and weekend. Thank you very much.
Thank you all.
Thank you. This concludes today's teleconference. You may disconnect your lines at this time. Thank you for your participation and have a wonderful day.